Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all our listeners. You are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. This is Star here. How are you doing, Coach Foster?
Doing great. How's everybody tonight? Sit back and get ready to enjoy another great show.
Oh, yes, certainly. And definitely, as everyone knows, lots of always have been going on since our last show every Sunday at 9:30. Before we go into our main segment, which is talking about franchise players and teams and free agency and the whole works, first we'll like to take a step back and go behind the bench of our nation's MLB news. First off that we'd like to talk about, speaking of franchise teams and managers, Joe Maddon. They played the Cardinals. The Cubs are now 39-34 as a team, but still in contention. And this is an example of the Cubs wanting to get that quote-unquote franchise manager. And Joe Maddon actually said, quote-unquote, he is still hanging in there. He believes that the team is going through a mental hump of beating the best team in baseball, and it's tough. And he said, "I'd almost be more concerned if it flipped too easily. I would, because then I'm looking for the trapdoor. Right now, everything is progressing pretty much as it should." What are your thoughts on that comment?
Well, he feels that they're really progressed more than they, I guess, figured at this time, and they're only wanting to get better. They're not going to be satisfied just to, I guess, finish third or second or over 500. They're looking to win their division, and it's going to take more moves that they maybe in the pitching, because I see they want to maybe trade for Nice from the Mets, and the Mets have a lot of pitching that they can afford to get rid of, but and then the Cubs have a lot of young stars in their farm system. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do between now and July 31st.
Yeah, now is when it really counts. Of course, everyone has these ideas, or they have potential of seeing what player can produce what in spring training or even in the beginning of the season. But now is when it really counts, and making those decisions, making the right decisions at the right time. For example, when the Nats had Strasburg and they decided to take him out at the end of the time, and that could have been crucial to them making it to the big level. What are your thoughts about those type of decisions?
Yeah, it's like using the Mets again. They want to go to a six-man rotation so that the younger kids and also the guys who were hurt coming off an injury, like Matt Harvey, they don't throw more innings than they need to, and plus they would be ready for the playoffs. And I still look back and feel that it wasn't a good decision on the Nats' part, that they end up losing. I felt they would have won, gone all the way to the World Series if Strasburg was able to pitch, but they decided they wanted to protect him, and now they're really desperate to get back, and it's not a guarantee when you're there, it's not a guarantee it's going to happen again. So they're battling, trying to get there, but then one of their key guys, Rendon, gets hurt again, So he's the glue to that ball club, the catalyst. Even though Bryce Harper's been hitting the ball well, I just feel that Rendon is a clutch hitter. So not only the Rendon going down, but also the fact of making a good decision on your pitching staff, because you're going to need it in the playoffs and in the World Championship.
That's certainly true. And when Joe Maddon talks about they're progressing, or it's about all about the process, it's also tough on the other end when these fans, or when you're in a major metropolitan city such as Chicago or New York or Washington, D.C., where fans are all about the instant gratification and the quick changeover, even though the organization is completely changing the dynamics by adding a new manager, a new franchise player. There's a fine line. So for the manager's sake and the organization's sake, the people in the front office, who should they just listen to? Should they not care about the fan sentiment, because they're at the end of the day, they're bringing in the dollars?
Well, they got to understand that as an individual, there's only so much you can do, and it takes a whole team to be able to go out there and win consistently. And the front office, when you trust the front office is doing a good job in helping that ball club win, and they have that same attitude to win, not winning by having the most increase in their attendance, but being able to go out there and win by record, being able to be the best team, either they win their division or be one of the wild cards, and that's a big accomplishment for the Cubs, because they haven't been in that situation in a long period of time. But with Maddon coming there and then the general manager being there, these guys are winners and they know how to win. So it just gives the fans that extra, inspiration to pull for the team and look forward to the team winning.
Yes, and in the Cubs' case, they received this franchise manager. But what about when your manager that has been with you the whole season is let go, like the Phillies? What sort of mindset as a player do you get into?
Well, with the Phillies, they were going nowhere fast, and it was a surprise. Ryan Sandberg, I think he was forced to resign. It looks better on your resume that you resign compared to being fired. So he,
right.
In a sense, he was forced out, and they're going to make moves. I know that they're going to be a new general manager, and they're looking to not only change as they did with the manager. So it'd be interesting what guy they bring in. But to me, it's a slap in the face when you have a guy like with San Diego, with the Marlins, who haven't really played the game, even though they've been a general manager, they haven't played the game, so they don't really know the game. And that comes that trust factor. The players don't really trust the guy that he really knows the game. And then in certain situations, how is he going to react to a certain situation? How is he going to deal with the umpires or deal with the pitching, all those situations? So, like I said, it's like a slap in the face having someone there who doesn't really have that experience. You know, there are guys who managed, had worked with players or didn't play in the major leagues, but they did have experience in managing. But you have some guys who don't have the experience, but they figure that they know the personnel. But baseball is a different business than any other, because the product is very unique.
Yeah, certainly true. And it's not like, I guess, as many books as you read and as many games as you watch, it's nothing will ever compare to actually playing in that realm.
That's true, because it's like, I guess, with a GPS, at times, more so if people ask you for direction, you ask the person who's been there compared to asking a person who think they know it, and you got to trust that person more who's been there than the person who's read a book or looked at videos or just trying to figure it out as he goes. But I just look at, like, say, managers or batting instructors or instructors, period, that ball clubs don't understand that you got to get someone who's had experience, who know how, who's done it before and know how to teach it.
Exactly. And once again, like you said, talking about the Mets, we're all going to talk about the Mets again, going to our third news this week. Let's talk about this rookie, Mets. What is your thoughts about him?
Well, I watched him today, and being left-handed, and you're gonna win quite a few games. It's just strange that a lot of right-handers do not hit left-handers well because they have that slider coming in on them, and then it somewhat nullify any left-handed hitter. Not too many left-handed batters hit left-handed throwers or pitchers that well. So it's going to be a plus for the Mets, but that helped them to go to that six-man rotation and maybe put them in a position to make a trade because they need some offense. They have a lot of pitching, but they need some offense.
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, you just spoke about Matt Harvey. Do they need all these great pitchers? But you also did say it's important to have a deep pitching staff.
Well, especially when you have 20 games in a row without a day off, and that way you don't overuse your starters. I mean, back maybe 3 or 4 years ago, the Reds were excited about the fact that their starters never did miss a start. But I just felt that that's not really good because now the guy's going to be fatigued at the end of the year. So now and then you need to skip someone's start so they can be fresh. And by having a six-man rotation, it's like skipping a start because pitching every fifth day, you're going to pitch every sixth day. So you get a chance to, like a Matt Harvey, he's regaining his strength from the Tommy John surgery. So it's important for him not to throw a lot of pitches, and that way he can be available later in the season and being strong.
Yeah, that's really important, that strength at the right time, which is the end of the season, like you said. And how can, of course, with the staff and with the Mets, how can they make sure that they don't go the route that, or the decisions that the Nats did, like we said before, with Strasburg and making the wrong decision at the wrong time? I mean, Mats is hot right now and doing well, but he's also like young, like how Strasburg was. So how do they make sure that they don't go down that path?
Well, it's the same thing we were talking about. Instead of they go to a six-man rotation so that he doesn't have to pitch as often, and then making sure that the pitch count, if it's 90 or 100, making sure they stick to that pitch count. But with the Nats, you know, Strasburg, he was such a draw, they didn't want him to miss the start, and that really hurt him. And plus, he out there, maybe sometimes he's just into the fifth inning, he's over 100 pitches. So they didn't really monitor that very well. And plus, he had pitched a lot in college, so there was a lot of wear and tear on that arm. And, of course, when a guy becomes your franchise player, you want to make sure that he's out there for the people to see, and that really fills a lot of seats in the stands. So to make sure that he's becoming a big draw, and hoping that they can build around him. But so far, he's starting to come. I mean, there's still a lot of pressure on him to be that guy. But you have guys, Scherzer and Zimmerman, who are doing a good job. So they really there to help support that pitching staff until Strasburg have the confidence and not having to go out there and win every game or shut the other team out, but being able to go out there and relax and feel in that, just keep the team in the game.
Yeah, and that's an important key thing is that support, and especially with the deep pitching staff, is everyone knowing their role and knowing what they should do at what time, and then everything sort of becomes balanced for the team.
Well, that's key, is that everybody does what they can do, and it's an individual effort for individual commitment for a group effort, and go and do what you're able to do and not try to go out there. And some guys are strikeout pitchers, some are not. If you're not a strikeout pitcher, no, I understand that, but make sure that you get the do your thing, knowing the hitters, and go out there and pitch your game. don't try to be something that you're not, and you're going to find that you become victorious and keep your team in the game. But having a good balance in the ball club is very important. And also the order that you pitch these guys, you may have you don't want to have power pitchers right after one another. Maybe have a left-hander in between, so that the opposition is seeing something different when they go out there and make a big adjustment. They have to make a big adjustment in a short period of time. So a lot of things go into making a rotation, and that's going to help the ball club become a better team.
And that's certainly true. And next up in our national MLB news, of course, everyone knows the All-Star game, All-Star weekend is coming up in Cincinnati, Ohio, July 10th through the 14th. And this year, Monday, July 13th, they'll have the Home Run Derby. And, of course, they all had their votes. Apparently, there was a lot more votes that needed or that were left out. Have you heard any sentiment from the fans or from people talking about if they're upset about that? Or
I haven't had more that. I've heard more about the fact of the commissioner's office is trying to find a way to balance off the fact that the Royals had more guys than anybody in position to be in the All-Star game, and they felt that they were voting more than 35 times. But that's always going to happen. I know it's become popularity. They want their players there to represent them. But it's a guy like a Todd Frazier with the Reds. He probably has the better stats as a third baseman. But it'd be great to have a guy who from his own city to make the ball club. But
right.
It's when it becomes voting, it's hard to be accountable for all the votes that have taken place. And unfortunately, guys are going to get a lot of votes and other guys are going to be overlooked. So I know they end up maybe making the team because the manager is slack, but that's what I felt good about, the fact that when I made the All-Star team, I made it because not only my stats, but also the fans voted me in, so I was a starter. And I wasn't the guy who was added later on.
Right, exactly. And just like you're saying about the vote, you can't control it. An example, of course, in basketball, too, when the MVP was someone who they didn't expect. But it's about that fan base, too.
Well, it becomes, in a sense, fame is man-given. So their guy's going to be looked, the best player may be overlooked, and someone else get the MVP. I remember back in Albert Bell, the reporters didn't really like Albert Bell. He should have been the MVP, but they gave it to somebody else out of spite. So even the guy deserved it, he didn't get it because they didn't want him to have it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. What are your thoughts about them changing the format for the Home Run Derby? Or is it good or bad for the game?
They're just trying to make it more interesting and keep the guys more into it, so guys don't be eliminated right away. But it's mostly to keep it interesting, and it's for the fans, and so you want to make sure that the fans enjoy every moment of that. So whatever you can do to improve it, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, of course, we always talk about the All-Star game. Last year on the George Foster Diamond Report, we spoke about the upcoming All-Star weekend. Let's tell our audience what was going through your mind during the All-Star weekend and how you can prepare and to mentally focus not only some people say the Home Run Derby is just for fun, but it's also getting it's part of your record, but also staying mentally focused for after the All-Star weekend, because it counts right now.
Yeah, to me, I looked at it as an exhibition, but now since there was that fallout in the tie they had, so now the commissioner want to make it an important game, saying that whoever wins whatever league wins to get the home field advantage. I don't really feel it should be as such, but he's trying to make place more emphasis on the players going out there playing hard to make sure that their league gets the home field advantage.
Right.
Guys, just they try to go out there, and it's going to be a challenge to be able to perform at your best, because you want to be able to go out there and do well, but not go out there and get hurt during that period of time. And it's only one game, and so you don't want to go out there, like say, get hurt, but do it as well as possible, but not go overboard if it's diving at a ball or sliding unnecessarily. Running into a wall, so you got to. And plus the fact that the lineup once again is selected by the fans, so sometimes you're not going to have that balance there. But it just unfortunately they put too much emphasis on the All-Star game, and I just look at it as a entertainment or exhibition game. The one that stands out is the Home Run Derby. It's a celebration. So during that period of time, it should be looked at as a celebration, and then the players get a chance to relax for a period of time. But it's a challenge to relax when you know you have to go out there and strive to perform well.
Right, exactly. And speaking in height of the All-Star Weekend, MVPs and the top players, moving on to our main segment, which is franchise players versus franchise teams. Looking at the game today, we obviously see a lot of franchise players, and these players are moved from team to team, and sometimes in the organization's mind in hope of changing that dynamic or changing the tone for the city because they're on a massive losing streak or just changing the whole entire team. However, did you feel like, I mean, of course, there are players like, when that comes to mind, Griffey franchise players. But I feel maybe back in the day and also when you are playing that there's more of a camaraderie amongst the team and more franchise teams that sort of set the tone with the city.
Right. Well, you take the Yankees, number one, and the Reds. You didn't find as many changes on ball clubs back when we played compared to now, but there are more free agency and players moving from one team to the other because it's more inviting to get a big contract where you go from one team to the other. So in that loyalty factor doesn't really have as much value. And plus, like say being a free agent, you're after a period of time, after 6 years, you're able to go to another ball club or just trading guys, but the Yankees are, even now, the Yankees they're more revered than any other ball club. I think the Cardinals come next, and maybe the Reds or the Cubs, even though the Cubs haven't been winning, but people are diehard Cub fans. It's important that you go out there and give the city a good product, put a good product on the ball field. And the Yankees have, the Cardinals have, and the Cubs are attempting to do it, and the Reds are failing at that.
Yeah, and the first team, a franchise team came to mind was the Big Red Machine, and also even like the Pirates in the 70s with Doc Ellis, like they're a fearful team, but that you didn't think of just one player. You thought of them as a team together.
Right, yeah. I forgot about the Pirates because they were a franchise team with Willie Stargell there, Dave Parker. So you knew the name, but you still they had the song We Are Family, so meaning that we are a team. We play, if we want to win, we got to play as a team.
Yeah, do you think Joe Maddon is sort of trying to do that, or is he just focusing on getting the right dynamic amongst the team, not really franchise team?
Well, it's a business, and he wants to bring a winning ball club to that city. But if he's there 3 to 5 years, that's his purpose, is to not only increase the winning for the ball club, but increased his value as a manager, because when he was with Tampa, he won there. But when he saw that they were making a lot of changes, then he made changes. So it's all about the dollar, where you can go and get the most money, and byproduct is being able to win. And he's brought a winning attitude to the Cubs, which has been needed. You have managers coming there that hadn't won before. That mindset of these owners, they're successful in their businesses, but the baseball is a unique business, and you got to be able to have somebody who knows the business of baseball to be able to operate it.
Yeah, operation is certainly key. And I mean, I can't really think of any franchise teams now except for the Yankees. And even though they still have, obviously, the multi-million dollars within their organization, but they still have somehow sustained that mindset or that those memories of the franchise team, and you still think of that.
Well, you do. I said earlier, second to the Yanks would be the Cardinals. Cardinal Nation is very strong, and they have been winning, and the fans have been showing up. And it's great to have that support, not only from the fans, but the businesses in that particular area. So they really support their ball club, which is great.
So a main thing you think is that fan base that keeps that franchise team mentality?
You're having the fan. It's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But it's having a good ball club and a fan base, or a good fan base and a ball club. But it's like it all comes together, maybe at the same time. Once you start showing the fans that you're out there to win and put a good product on the field, they're going to start supporting you. And then they start expecting that you're going to win. And you want to be a contender as much as possible. You're not going to win all the time, but still put a good product on the field that the fans can say, well, maybe next year, honestly say it, maybe next year will transpire. But you want to be competitive out there.
Certainly, competition is key. And, of course, you're listening to the George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday at 9:30. We have lots of topics that we always get into, and, of course, our main segment as well. And now we've come to the point of the show that we hear Coach Foster's Player Catalyst of the Week and also the Team Catalyst.
For the player, I feel, of the day, it had to be Matz, the pitcher for the Mets, because not only he pitched well, but he drove in four RBIs, and that's the second. He's tied with Dwight Gooden, who had done it early in his career. So Matz done it. Even Matz not only pitched well, but he drove in four runs. But I also mentioned Granderson. He was key because the games were very close up to today, but he was key in hitting home runs. He hit home runs against Cueto, who's one of the top pitchers in the game. And each game he led off with a home run, which at least got the Mets. He was the offense for the Mets for a period of time. And today's game, didn't other guys start to join in. But Gunderson and Matz, those two guys were very impactful as individuals.
Certainly. He definitely brought it to it and at the right key moment. That's tough for some rookies, but if you're ready and prepared, he was able to produce results. What about the Team Catalyst of the Week?
The team had to be once the Cardinals. They're the first team to win 50 ball games before even playing 75 games. So that's a franchise record, and it's maybe, I know it's one of the top records in the game of baseball to be able to get 50 games winning under your belt this soon.
Certainly true. They're definitely got that momentum going, and we'll see if they keep continuing it, but most likely they're always a clutch team who is embrace that pressure at the key moment. What about the highlight play of the week?
I would say the highlight play, it turned out it's really a miscommunication by the Yankees. The Yankees playing the Houston Astros, fly ball hit the left center, and the center fielder is the captain of the outfield, so he should be calling for it. So the left fielder was camped under it, then all of a sudden it drops, and the shortstop ended up getting inside the park. I don't know if he got credit for a home run, but he ended up scoring, going all the way around the bases to score, and that ended up tying the ball game, and the Astros went on to win that game.
I definitely agree with that. A lot of people weren't talking about that one. Before I go into the George Foster wrap-up of the scores for the evening, I also did want to mention of who you thought would be the all-time franchise player, not just now. They did list, I saw a source, I believe it was from MLB, their franchise player would be, if they were having to name the top eight, it would be Hank Aaron, Johnny Bench, Barry Bonds, Ricky Henderson, Sandy Koufax, Pedro Martinez, Willie Mays, and Tom Seaver. Is there a list that a player that you would add to that list?
I for sure would add, I don't know, Ted Williams has to be in there.
Yeah.
It's with Barry Bonds being in there, it's because it's more of an asterisk because he allegedly been involved with drugs. But Ted Williams for sure. Other than that, Cy Young has to be there because he won the most games of all time.
Right.
But that list is pretty good, but there are other guys who have better stats. Because you go back to Babe Ruth, but you look at Mickey Mantle, and from the Yankees, you know, there's more than a handful. It's a challenge to select who's the franchise player for the Yankees. Because it's such a great organization. But once again, I said earlier, fame is man-given, so they put certain evaluations, certain stats in there to come out as being who's the franchise player. Of course, you have Tom Seaver would be the franchise player of the New York Mets, and that's head and shoulders over anybody else that's there. And like Astros, you maybe go to Nolan Ryan but he played for different clubs, so he wasn't with that club majority of the time. So I think that's one thing to look at, how long that player was with that particular team to qualify as being a franchise player.
Right. I guess that gives them longevity and the quote-unquote loyalty, because a lot of players that they brought on were franchise players, and they were brought to that team for that reason. But like you said, that's completely true, that longevity that they had with the team. But that's very interesting. We are going to get into the All-Star Weekend when we have our segment next Sunday and speak more about the Derby and from an athlete's perspective, how to prepare and what to think about post All-Star Weekend and how to get that ready. Coming to the George Foster Diamond or George Foster wrap-up, the final score with Cleveland and Baltimore. Baltimore came out with the W 8-0. There was a delayed game with the St. Louis Cardinals against the Chicago Cubs. So that will wait upon those results. Final score for the Washington Nationals against the Phillies, 3-2, close one. Texas fell to Toronto, Blue Jays 3-2. The Chicago White Sox also fell to Detroit 4-5. These are close scoring games. As we mentioned before, the New York Mets came out with a W against Cincinnati Reds 2-1. the LA Dodgers came out with a W against Miami 2-0. And Boston came out with a W against Tampa Bay. That was a good one for them, 5-3. Atlanta played the Pirates, and they came out with a win. Atlanta came out with a win 2-1. Final score with the Yankees, they fell to the Houston Astros 3-1. Milwaukee came out with a W 5-3 against Minnesota, and the final score with the Angels against Seattle was 3-2. Oakland fell to Kansas City 5-3. And lastly, San Francisco came out with a W against Colorado Rockies 6-3. So I hope you had a great evening, and we're very interested and intrigued in our conversation and our dialogue. Feel free to call in, ask us any questions, comments about maybe your stroke, about a team, just baseball within itself. Call in 347-539-5397. This is the George Foster Diamond Report, every Sunday at 9:30. And like I always say, it's about the development, the strength, and the drive of an athlete. This is Star Foster, and I'm signing off. Thanks so much, Coach Foster.
Thank you, and I hope the fans enjoyed our little talk, and also want to leave with the words of that, if you want to you got to be prepared for opportunities that come your way. When those opportunities are there, you got to be prepared for it. That's going to help you be ready to take over that task that's going to be presented to you.
Yes, certainly. Preparation is key. Have a wonderful night, everyone, and thank you, Coach Foster.
Good night.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps. It's over his head. A-